Hello and good morning. We're here at the American Library Association annual conference. This is the Live from 25 podcast booth. I'm Carol Hinz, associate publisher of Millbrook Press and Carol Rhoda Books. And I'm so pleased to be joined this morning by Carol Boston Weatherford and Jeffrey Boston Weatherford. They are author and illustrator of a new picture book called Call Me Miss Hamilton. And that's what we'll be speaking about this morning. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you. We're both happy to be at ALA in person again.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
So why don't we just start by talking about who was Mary Hamilton?
Mary Hamilton was a woman who was born out west and grew up in the Midwest. And she was, you know, she was an ordinary woman, child of the 1930s. She was born in the 1930s. So she grew up during the Jim Crow era. Experienced some segregation during her formative years, not as much as she would have in the South, but nevertheless, you know, segregation was still widespread and affected not only African Americans at the time, but also Latinos and indigenous people in the region of the country where she lived. So she grew up out west and attended Catholic schools and then went east to college. And she was a little known, she's a little known hero, an unsung hero of the civil rights movement. And we'll get into a little bit more of that.
Okay, fantastic. Why don't we talk about what really mobilized Mary Hamilton to join the civil rights movement?
So she saw the injustice that was around her. That was truly, I think, anybody who is not moved by the injustice around them, you know, they're kind of cold. They're a cold person, but she was not one of those cold people. She was a warm soul. She was influenced by CORE. You know, she saw the freedom rides, and she decided to join. And from there, she made waves in the law of the land, if you will. She would not allow herself to be demeaned. Prior to her case going all the way up to the Supreme Court, they did not have to call people of color by honorific names, honorific titles in a court, you know, still by their names or worse. So it was because of her, this little thing, you know, just being called Miss or Mister in court, that was something that had to go all the way to the Supreme Court. So yeah, she I think I told the whole story just now, actually.
I think you did, too.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the middle. So at the time when Mary Hamilton was mobilized, she was a teacher. She was teaching school, and she noticed that the civil rights movement was going on, and she was really, really happy that African Americans were finally fighting for their rights. I mean, of course, it wasn't the first time that African Americans had protested, but it was the civil rights movement had become a mass movement. And she was mobilized to the point that she quit her teaching job and went south on the freedom rides. And from there, she became a leader in the civil rights movement in her own way. She was the first woman to be a regional director of CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality. And she was so passionate about the civil rights movement that Reverend Martin Luther King called her Red because of her fiery temper. She would not tolerate disrespect, and she definitely was not content being a second-class citizen or with her people being treated as second-class citizens.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit more, Jeffrey. You referenced sort of the court case. Carol, you want to talk a little more about sort of what happened in court that led her to being held in contempt of court and sort of kicked off this case that went to the Supreme Court?
Like many civil rights activists of that time, Mary Hamilton was arrested repeatedly and jailed. And on one occasion when she was jailed, a couple occasions, she was addressed simply by her first name. And she noticed that other defendants, white defendants, were given more respect and addressed as Mr., Mrs., or Miss. And she refused to answer to her first name and was jailed. And when she was released, she refused to pay the $50 fine and instead went to the NAACP, and the NAACP sued on her behalf. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, where, as Jeffrey said, the Supreme Court decided that everyone, regardless of the color of their skin, should have the same respect in courts of law. And so because of the Miss Mary case, everyone, as I say, regardless of the color of their skin, is addressed with honorific titles, Miss, Mr., or Mrs. Thus the title of the book, Call Me Miss Hamilton.
Right, exactly. One of the unique things about this book and the two of you is that you are mother and son. Can you talk a little about what that collaboration is like? And is it different than sort of your typical author-illustrator collaboration where they have not known each other for their entire lives?
So I'll talk first about the typical author-illustrator collaboration. Typically, when an author submits a manuscript, and the manuscript is acquired, the editor and the art director ask me for a wish list. Who do you have anyone you're interested in working with, an illustrator you're interested in working with? And I give them maybe a list of three or five people. But I knew at the outset that I wanted to work with my son, Jeffrey. So, Jeffrey, I'll let you take it from there. So Jeffrey and I did, this became a package, so to speak.
Right.
So, Jeffrey, you talk about it, and your mother's here, so be careful.
All right. Blink twice. All right. So, our relationship is very unique in that we've, of course, known each other our entire life. Whenever we have secured a joint project, we have submitted the manuscript as well as the initial illustrations as a package. And that's the exact blueprint that we use for this as well. And I can say, well, personally, I haven't worked with any other author other than Carol, my mom, of course, as of yet. But the relationship that we have, I think, is influenced the way that we interact as author and illustrator. Of course, she, from a very young age, she was, helping. When I forgot my homework or something, she would come up to the school and bring it to me. And even now, she will bring picture research, but I consider homework, to me. And you should include this. I did research about this, or I did research about that, or include this about her hometown, or, little nuanced information that I wouldn't have necessarily brought to the table in my own picture research. She loves to do picture research, loves to mine the past for gems for the future. So having that aspect of her character definitely helps to bring forth the vision that she's working to bring to the table. Yeah. I feel like the relationship that we have, she is the author. She paints the words, but I am a paintbrush, so she has a lot of influence and a lot of say, and I don't know if that's necessarily, she has the same creative pull visually in the other relationships that she has with other illustrators.
No, I don't. In fact, Jeffrey does scratchboard illustrations, and he can talk a little bit more about that after I talk about the process. I not only did picture research, but I think that for one spread, I even set up a tablescape and took a photograph for a tea that was being depicted at her college. And so, I had to pull china from my neighbor. We put a lace tablecloth on, and Jeffrey, I think you used the photograph. Mm-hmm. My hand is even in the photo.
Oh, that's
in
fantastic.
The illustration.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, a lot of our work is in that same realm. Like, we use models, like my mom mm-hmm. or my friends or people that we find at church. For instance, like one of the praying young girls is one of the members from the church.
Would you tell the listeners about your scratchboard technique?
Okay, so yes, with scratchboard is a subtractive technique. Most forms of art are additive, meaning you're adding something to the page, whether that's paint, graphite, ink, glitter, whatever, adding to the page. With scratchboard, the entire paper is covered with ink, usually black ink, and we're scraping the surface with little pieces of metal. So it's like metal files, pointy things that you can actually hurt yourself with if you're not careful. So I use these tools to scrape the surface off the top to reveal lightness underneath. Most scratch boards usually come with a white glossy surface underneath, or a colorful or a metallic gold or silver. The style that we use for Mary Hamilton is of course black and white. And it's almost like reverse drawing. It definitely takes like a brain backflip to kind of get into the groove of it, because you're actually drawing with light. Normally you're drawing the outlines and you're using the positive space, but you're kind of bringing forth the negative space in scratchboard.
And these particular illustrations juxtapose scratchboard, sometimes scratchboard cutouts, against a backdrop of archival photographs from places like the Library of Congress and elsewhere. And so I think in that way, it kind of creates a cinematic effect or a graphic novel effect. So I'm really happy with the illustrations.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good thing, because you're stuck with each other.
Right.
I know. Oh, well, I think for our final question, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you hope young readers take away from this picture book and what they carry with them after learning Mary Hamilton's story.
Well, one thing that comes across in the book, I've tried to carry through in the text, is the importance of names. And how meaningful names are, whether it's your first name, Mary, or whether it's the fact that you want to become a nun and you want to be called sister, or whether you learn in school, you know, when you're at this, you know, all-girls college that's kind of like a finishing school, you learn, you know, how to be courteous and civil to other people and address people by Miss, Mr., or Mrs. That's important in civil society. And everybody is due respect. And that's, I hope that's what young people will take away, that they deserve and should demand respect, regardless of demographics, regardless of skin color, regardless of age. You know, everybody deserves respect. We're all human.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jeffrey, do you have things you hope young readers will take away from looking at the visuals?
From the visuals, you know, I think that when you create fine art, it's always brings up a certain perspective. You know, is this real? Mm-hmm. I think the juxtaposition of the actual, like, archival historic images coupled with the fine art, I think that activates every kind of aspect of the brain. You know, it's like there's no question that this has really happened. Did they really call people these names? And it's always amazing to me, you know, when we talk in schools, when we're like, you know, when we say, oh, a cemetery was segregated, and like you couldn't even bury a white person and a black person next to each other, and kids are like, huh? What? Like, why? So I think having these, like, the fine art and the historical photography coupled together allows them to really place it in history and understand that, you know, this was real. Mm-hmm. This is something that happened, and this is something that we have to put our foots down and make sure that we don't allow to happen again. And also, of course, that Mary Hamilton was, you know, the first person that stood up against all this non-honorific name-calling, and this is something that went on for so long.
Right.
If you see something and feel something and know something is wrong, if nobody is standing up for it, you can be the one to stand up for it, because it was her. She was the catalyst. Her single decision to say, you know what, I'm not going to allow this person to call me by my first name.
Yep.
And I'm putting my foot down here. And because of it, it changed everything. You know, changed the way that they address us in court. Not saying that that's the end of the road, but, you know, small steps. A journey is made by a succession of small steps. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, stand for what's right, always. Even if you stand alone, even if you don't know that anybody is going to back you up, you know deep down in your bones if something is right or something is wrong, and act accordingly.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much for making this book, for sitting down to have this conversation. Can you share, where can people find you both online?
You can find us at cbweatherford.com. I am Poet Weatherford on Twitter. Jeffrey is Hip Hop's Hope on Twitter. And I'll let him give you his other handles.
So on Instagram, my title is Tribe Chief. So that's Tribe with three I's and Chief, spelled exactly how it sounds. No underscores, no spaces or anything like that. And Jeffrey Weatherford on Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again. Call Me Ms. Hamilton is available now everywhere books are sold. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Learner Podcast. Tune in again next time for more author interviews and the stories behind the books.